listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting across Hamilton from the edge of the Niagara Escarpment.
Happy Saturday. Yeah, we live. This is Speak On It. Black Poet Residency. Hamilton, you poets. Rest in peace, Pop Smoke. Let's go.
She like the way that I move. She like the way that I rock. She like the way that I woo. And she let it clap for it.
The sun is out.
She let it clap for it.
And she throw it back for it.
Happy Black History Month. Let's go.
Billie Jean, Billie Jean. Christian Dior, Dior. I'm up in all the stores. When it rains, it pours. She like the way I like a Mary, like a Mary. Billie Jean.
Rest in peace, Malcolm X.
Christian Dior, Dior. I'm up in all the stores. When it rains, it pours. She like the way I
rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, Gianna.
This is gay, all in my page, sucking all in my comments and screaming my name while I'm in the club, throwing them hundreds and fifties and ones and ones.
Speak on it.
They know I'm wildin'. If I'm on the island, I'm snatching the cell. Brody got locked, the night is bail. Until he free, I'm raising hell. Tell my shooters, call me FaceTime. For all the times we had to FaceTime. 3D nights, I do a stay time. If you need the glizzy, you can take mine. Please don't pay my time. You know I'm like that. I'll make a movie like TNT. Black 30 on me, as you really want it. I bet I air it like B&B. Now I'm wildin' in my section. And I keep that 38 for the weapon. Remember when I came home for correction? All the bad bitches about the...
Stop the violence, people. Let's go.
Dance. She like the way that I move. She like the way that I rock. She like the way that I woo. And she let it clap for it.
She let it clap for it.
And she throw it back for it.
Yeah, she throw it back for it.
Like a Mary, like a Mary. Billie Jean, Billie Jean. Christian Dior, Dior. I'm up in all the stores. When it rains, it pours. She like the way I like a Mary, like a Mary. Billie Jean, Billie Jean. Christian Dior, Dior. I'm up in all the stores. When it rains, it pours. She like the way I...
We got a slam tomorrow at the Spice Factory. Hopefully you all come through. Hamilton, you poets. Oh yeah, rest in peace, Pop Smoke. This is Speak On It, brought to you by the Hamilton Youth Poets and the Black Poet Residency. We have a number of young people from Hamilton's artistic community. We talk about politics, we talk about race, we talk about love, we share poems, comedy, and have lots of fun along the way. Some of the issues that we may be discussing might be a little hard to hear, so as always, listener discretion is advised. Happy Saturday, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, awesome. We good.
Okay, give thanks. Give thanks. We live in the studio. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amani, how was your week thus far?
My week was so awesome. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Can't complain. Let's get it started right away. What segment do you have for us today? I love the title. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
All right. So for this Self-Love Saturday, we are talking about the difference between self-care days and lazy days. So basically, a lot of people, especially during social media time, self-care has become like a trend, and we kind of have certain misconceptions about what a self-care day is. Some people are like, oh, you know, do what you want. You could eat a whole box of pizza and, you know, watch Netflix, but that is not what I think a self-care day is. Obviously, it's subjective. But personally, I think self-care days are days to take care of your daily needs that you might have been neglecting, while a lazy day is just a day to have fun and take care of, like, your cravings. And, like, what I like to call it is a selfish day. So self-care and selfish days.
I really like that. What are some of the things that you do personally on your self-care Saturdays?
Well, on my self-care Saturdays, I like to, you know, have kind of like a spa day and like kind of, you know, put on a mask, take a shower, clean my room.
Are we talking about like Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman?
Oh, I wish. But, you know, I'm talking about, you know, like face masks and things like that, like herbal masks for your face, you know, face shop, those nice, you know the masks I'm talking about.
I
right?
do. Body Works. I've been there a few times. Yeah. I got the aloe vera cucumber. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that anyone else does for self-care or things that they think about?
Usually, like, for, like, my self-care, if I feel that I haven't been writing quite enough, I'll take, like, an hour to 2 hours of my day, and I'll just sit down, and I'll be like, all right, I'm going to put on some, like, some music, any type of music, and I'll just, like, write for, like, an hour to 2 hours, even if it's not all the same. Like, there are times where I'll go, like, I'll write one line, and I'll go to another page. I'll be like, ah, that's for another poem, and I'll write something else for another thing. So, like, that's what I like to do.
Anyone else?
Well, what I like to do on my self-care Saturdays is I like to read. So when my mind is busy throughout the whole week thinking of a million things, I like to just sit down and read a book so my mind's at ease and, like, relax kind of thing.
Nice.
So for me, I'm always the type of person that's go, go, go. Like, I never sit down. I never, like, just relax. So for me, my self-care was just sitting and watching SpongeBob yesterday, like, all day, and coloring, and just staying at home. And it was actually not that bad as I thought it would be.
I gotta be honest, you know, many of you are under the age of 19, 20, and one would wonder why young people would need self-care, right? You guys don't have mortgages, you don't have families, you're not paying your taxes. What is the importance of self-care for this generation?
School is a very difficult place, and as you guys know, you got the tests, you got assignments and exams, and you got, like, social issues like peer pressure and maybe issues with teachers. So once all of that happens, you're just like, I need a break, because school is a very difficult thing. The education system is a thing that kind of, in my personal opinion, kind of wants people to fail. So when you feel that kind of failing aspect in your own life, you gotta rejuvenate and, you know, get back at it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially because with school, it's not like a job. A job is like 9 to 5. A job is like 9 to 5, and then you're done. And then you're at home chilling and you do whatever you want. But school, that can continue over the weekend with all the homework, assignments, practicing with tests. And the worst thing about tests, you don't know if you actually know, you don't know the material fully until you actually do the test. So you're kind of like, you might be 100% confident and retain 5% of the information, mm-hmm. and then somehow you're like, you do math good. But if you actually know 100% of the information and you don't have any confidence, you could still fail the test. So it's all about the mindset.
The tests, in my opinion, are very, like, it's an issue, because when you feel like you know everything and then you go in, like you said, and fail, then you feel like you're a failure. But you do know things, you know? And, like, I feel like because of all these tests and assignments that are basically saying, you gotta know this, it's gonna help you in life, but it really doesn't, mm-hmm. you realize that after you get out of school, you don't really know anything, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so like you need those self-care days just to learn things for yourself.
Right.
Yeah, another thing with like saying that like school isn't like the job 9 to 5, sometimes, like, again, sometimes that is true, but there are jobs where you do have to like bring work home and do it at home. But even then, there isn't the same type of pressure there is on students, right? Like, if I don't do well on this next math test, that means my average is going to drop. That means that this university won't accept me to my program, exactly. Right? And then there's the pressure of parents being like, hey,
I want to
do a great job in school so that my parents will be proud of me. And that's like the type of mindset that us students go into school with.
And also like the idea your parents want you to become a doctor or a lawyer, especially like immigrant parents. They want you
all
to
those
be,
expectations.
Yeah. So then you have those expectations being like, you gotta pass. If you don't, then you are going to fail in life. So when you have those ideas and all that pressure on you, you gotta kind of build resilience and stuff. But like, even then, it's very difficult, right?
Yeah, I was also gonna say, I feel like self-care is one of those things where it's important for everybody, but we sort of feel like we place confidence in not taking care of yourself and overworking yourself and
the hustle
yourself out. And in your brain, you're like, yeah, this is, I'm busy, I'm working, I'm doing all, but at the same time, it's like, great. Everybody has stresses in their life, though.
Exactly.
But whether it's school, like you guys are saying, a lot of kids go home and deal with toxic, questionable situations at the house. In this city, especially, a lot of people just like, safety's a problem, you know what I mean? So everybody has their stresses. Everybody should be looking into self-care. It's good for you. Respect and love yourself.
I actually went to a conference for 2 days on Tuesday and Wednesday in Toronto. It was about youth resilience. And so one of the presentations was about complex trauma and how there are certain stresses on your life, especially like as Black people, you have that racism and like even schooling can be an issue. And when you have these certain traumas, they can cause you to have a narrowing sense of time. So like when you have that narrowing sense of time, you're going to really be living a life. Right. So basically, because of that, you're just like, oh no, what am I going to do next? So having self-care days to really take care of yourself is really good.
I love that. Amani, would you like to introduce our next song?
All right, guys. So for this song, you guys know Beyoncé, Grown Woman.
I remember being young and so brave. I knew what I needed. I was spending all my nights and days.
Sorry about that. Beyonce's having some technical difficulties, but she's back. All hell, Beyonce.
Now, but I run this. Cause I put it. Show it. I want.
Calling all poets and lovers of poetry, this month we're celebrating Black Future Month as we acknowledge and articulate the past. We are also excited and reimagining the future. What is your story and how does it interact with his or her story? Join us in celebrating where we've come from and help blaze a trail forward. Sunday, February 23rd, The Spice Factory, 121 Houston Street North. Doors open at 6 p.m. Open mic starts at 6:30. Slam starts at 7 p.m.
So can we talk about, like, how our generation gets blamed for things that, like, are out of our control?
What do you mean?
Like, people be telling me, yo, your generation, like, they have no drive, bro. They're not getting jobs. They're not working. Because there are no jobs to get without education. Mm. Like, we're working on graduating university, college, whatever, post-secondary. And then we're trying to work at McDonald's just to pay through that, right? We can't get a job at CIBC unless we have experience. But right. we can't get experience without a job. We can't get
stuck in this loop.
Exactly. We're stuck in the loop plus we're trying to get co-ops in school, right? That's not a job. It's not really getting us paid. Sometimes it does. But like, without that education piece, we can't get a job. We have to wait 4 years after high school, sometimes even 6 years to get our master's,
right,
just to get a job.
No, you know, the game has changed. And Mos Def, Yasiin Bey, rapper from Brooklyn, said, how do I get in order to get a job, I need experience. But how do I get experience without experience? I need experience to get experience, you know?
Yeah, exactly, right? So, like, it's just difficult to be told that by older generations when 60 years ago when they were growing up, right, they had jobs coming out of high school. They were working at
The farm,
Stelco, DeFasco, right? They all had jobs lined up. That's not the same because those jobs were less education-oriented. You didn't really need your education for that. You just went in. It's manual labor. Obviously, like, it's difficult work, but it's not like we don't have that same drive. We do. It just shows differently.
You know, nowadays, you all got to have connections. That's literally all it's about. If you know people, then you'll be able to get, you know, that experience you're looking for. But if you don't know anyone, then you're going to struggle. So now it's all that fight for connections. And, like, now, like, because the game has changed, a lot of people, they're quitting on university and college because it's just paying money for things you don't really like I said earlier, school doesn't teach you as much as you could have learned while getting that experience. But obviously, there's still that loop of, oh, I need a job to get experience, but I need experience to get a job, you know? So you got to always just know and connections, which is really difficult nowadays, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's also important to take into account the fact that, like, landscapes change. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? The barriers to entry with every new generation when it comes to employment and that type of stuff. This coming from I'm an econ student.
Always got to throw that in there. Econ student.
Because you know what I mean? You always got to. Because if you don't throw it in there, because you know there's one guy that's like, what is this guy?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I'm paying the money at university for this. I'm broke because of this. But yeah, so with every generation, the barriers to entry just for employment change, right? And it's shifting every 5-6 years or so. The barriers to entry change a little bit. So right now, it's and every generation, you can't necessarily look at the generation before and follow their footsteps because it was different footsteps for them than it would be for you. So whereas our parents, a lot of our immigrant parents came over here and just, you know, worked. It wasn't like highly sought after labor. It wasn't deemed as like super difficult labor by whatever capitalistic standards we have now. But it literally comes down to the fact that like the barriers to entry change every single generation. Now the barrier to entry is, all right, your university, now you got a degree in university, but everyone has a degree in university. Mm-hmm. So, right, so back then, it's like you got a degree in university, 100%, you're getting this job that you want. Yeah. Right? But nowadays, it's like, I have so many friends with accounting degrees, engineering degrees, and they're like, I studied engineering for 4 years and I don't have a job.
A couple of you are in grade 12 or just finished grade 12. What does the future look like? What does the job market look like for those who are making that transition from high school to, I guess, what they call the real world?
Oh, my gosh.
Honestly, they don't want to hire me. Like, honestly, I just feel like, yo, like, I just need one of y'all. Out of the 15 to 20 places that I hand out a resume, I just need one of y'all to call me back. And, my feelings are starting to get hurt because it's like, yo, y'all need to give me a chance. I promise, like, I'm going to do good. It's just, it's the bridge between, like, wanting to get there and actually getting there. It's a really difficult, like, thing to overcome. So that's not easy, you know. Cut us some slack, you know. You don't have a job, you're like lazy. No, like, I'm trying to get a job, I promise.
Okay, let's work this out right here, right now, to all the listeners listening on the Hawk 101.5 FM. You're listening to Speak On It. We have a young, wonderful, talented candidate, Aaliyah. Aaliyah, what are your skills?
Okay, so I'm a people person, even, right? I know how to converse, I can interact, I'm very good. I could do very well in customer service, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, we got that going on, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I am likable, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of y'all employees ain't likable, right? You pull up to a job, dude, they got an attitude.
Factoid.
Like, it's not my fault you work here, sis. Like, come on, I got, you know,
keep it going.
How may I help you? Thank you, no problem, absolutely. All that, I got all that, right? Okay, so customer service, thank you, okay? I'm great, all right.
What about any technical skills? What sort of things?
Okay, so I'm an artist, mm-hmm. right? I'm a growing artist. Mm-hmm. I have skills, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Not to toot my own horn or anything, but we're going to do it today.
We're going to do it today.
You know, I'm a quick learner. So, like, you just need to show me how to do it. I could do it for you. So, like, a lot of us have all the tools to, like, do good. It's just y'all need to give us a chance. Like, just give me a chance.
All right, so if you want to give Aaliyah a job, holler at us at hamiltonyouthpoets.com. We getting people paid out here.
I need a job.
If anybody has 12 jobs lined up, if y'all want to drop off.
I'm in Mohawk, and I've heard so many stories of these international students who can't get hired.
Hired why?
Because people won't take them because they think since they're international, they probably don't have experience. They might not understand anything. But all of my friends are, like, fully capable of having a job, but they're never given the chance to.
Yeah. And, you know, also a lot of government policies don't allow organizations or corporations, businesses, to hire people who are not Canadian citizens. There's special sort of prerequisites that you need to do for that. So it definitely puts those international students at a disadvantage. And they're already paying, you know, double, three times what Canadians pay for school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Speaking from a post-secondary student perspective, I just graduated high school, and it's hard enough to find a job because you're in a different ballpark now. I'm 18. I turned an adult. I'm now competing for a job with adults, and they're 30s, 40s, 20s, and it is hard to find a job when, A, I don't have the qualifications that they have. They might have certain certificates or degrees that I don't have, which make them a better candidate, but I can't really fight for myself, even though I might have a good personality, I'm determined, I'm driven. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because I'm not comparable to those older people, even though I'm in a different ballpark and I'm competing with all these other more qualified people. Mm-hmm. So finding a job in high school, I believe, is more easier than when you're adult, like you turn 18, because you're competing with so many people that are so many different age ranges, and it's hard to compete against them.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Like, the fact that you, like, I remember someone telling me it's all about seniority when it comes to
jobs.
So, like, you have those difficulties trying to find one. Personally, I, before, like, going to university or college, I want to take a year off to really figure out what I want, because people are always just like, you got to know what you want before high school's done, because if you go into college, you won't be able to, like, you know, get out of your program. So, like, there's always that fear of, I don't know what I want to do. But you're not supposed to know. No adult knows what they're doing, you know? So, like, I want personally, when I graduate, inshallah, I want to be able to have a year off just to figure out what I want to do, get that money, and, like, you know. But it's still difficult to get that money, you know?
But honestly,
how do your
all
parents
the
feel about that?
Okay, my parents are very, very, like, understanding when it comes to these things, because I'm just like, I know what I want, and as much as I want you guys to, like, know what, like, and like what I like, I know, like, we are not going to agree on those things, but if I know what I want for the future, I'm going to tell you, and we're going to talk about it, but no matter your advice, I'll take that into consideration, but I'm still going to do what I want to do.
Yeah, but you see, we're all young. We have all the time in the world, even though it seems like we don't sometimes because of our busy lives, social lives, school, we have all the time in the world. If you need to take a year off for, to understand what you want to do, that's okay. You have
yourself.
All the time. You need to find yourself, see who you are, because right after high school, you don't know. I had to take a year off, and then throughout that year, my whole career changed completely, and now I finally know who I was, who I am now, opposed to who I was before.
Yeah, and like something that I really want, because my, like, all my siblings, they went through university and college and stuff, and they always just are like, they dropped out of that program because they didn't know what they wanted, and when they realized it was too late, and you waste all that money. I don't want to waste money for something I'm not sure about rather than knowing what I want and really going for it. And even then, I don't really think, like, I think it's good to go to university and college if you want to and if you're there to learn. Don't go into it just to go into it, because then you're just going to come out of it like, what am I supposed to do now? That's not my dream, you know?
Yeah. As the HR rep,
human resources.
I joined the conversation a little late, but I would like to suggest a few things, just in terms of advice for young people. One, volunteering. Inactivity on a resume is just really shaky. The only benefit that older adults have than you is just time and experience, right? But if you can volunteer somewhere, you can form relationships that open doors. And that leads me to my second point, networking, forming relationships, being of, like, great work ethic. And even if you're leaving a job, just leave on, like, sound terms, because you never know. I've run into people who are hired and fired at past places.
Human resources.
Don't bring those bridges.
And I'm working at a different place now, and I'm looking at the resume, and I'm like, I know you. But relationships are so key. So networking and volunteering, that activity is going to help you in your future.
All about connections. I told you.
It's true, it's true. We're going to take a musical break.
The next song is Follow God by Kanye West.
Follow God, Kanye West.
Stretch my hands to you. Life like this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight bike. Pressing on the gas, supernova for a night light. Screaming at my dad and he told me it ain't Christ-like. But nobody never tell you when you're being like Christ. Only ever seeing me, only when they need me. Like if Tyler Perry made a movie for BT. Searching for a deity, now you wanna see it free. Now you wanna see it free, let you see it through your piece. Tell me what your life like, turn it down a bright light. Driving with my dad and he told me it ain't Christ-like. I'm just trying to find, I've been looking for a new way. I'm just really trying not to really do the fool way. I don't have a cool way, being on my best though. Lock up on a text though, nothing else next though. Not another word, letter, picture or a decimal. Wrestling with God, I don't really want to rest so. Man, it's really life-like, everything in my life. Arguing with my dad and he said it ain't Christ-like. Man. You know it's like somebody only close to can get you like off your. I be on my, I woke up this morning, I said my prayers, I'm all doing good. I try to talk to my dad, get him some advice. He starts spazzing on me, I start spazzing back. He said that ain't Christ-like. I said, ah!
So for the next topic, so it's 2020, and I've noticed like a big trend, I don't know if anybody else has, that a lot of artists and musicians are like really trying to like get more music out and really like make an impact, and there's like a lot of bands and stuff coming back together, and so I wanted to talk about like over history, like how has music changed, and what like makes a musician stand out. Like for me, like the band that comes to mind automatically is like Queen or like the Beatles, because like they revolutionized their like their genre. So like what do you guys think, like who else?
I also want to hear some suggestions. Who's the greatest artist of all time? Let's take a look at the categories. Music, yeah. Mm-hmm. Star quality, yeah. Mm-hmm. Impact, mm-hmm. And maybe X Factor.
Mm-hmm. I'd also add in story. I think I would also add in like the story and like their motivation to be an artist as well. Like their backstory too.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the fact that like when it comes to being an artist, it's always important because we always like as a consumer, it's a little bit different when you like talk about artists, right? Because you're talking from the give me music perspective. But we also got to take into account the fact that like a lot of artists, their success isn't determined by how hard they work necessarily, right? There's so many factors at play. The music industry is a complex industry, right? There's a lot of stuff going on. They may be in the studio 24 hours a day. Literally, there's rappers who lock themselves in the studio for weeks at a time. Only pop out to eat food and go right back in the studio. You know what I mean? So it's like a lot of times it's like their success isn't based on whether or not they work hard. Their success is based on a combination of like hard work, skill set, adaptability, and a little bit of luck. Like luck plays a
definitely
big part in that. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say luck too.
So which artist is the most memorable?
Michael Jackson.
Tupac. Whitney Houston.
Celine Dion.
Right now, Drake.
Keep it going.
Oh yeah, God. Facts. Drake
may be the rapper that retires as the greatest hip-hop artist ever.
True, true.
He's on the way.
Retiring? No, not soon. I'm saying when he does eventually retire.
When the time comes.
Yeah.
And the thing with Drake is, a lot of people hate on him a little bit because, like, I honestly don't know why people hate on him. Like
jealousy in the air. I don't know about you.
Exactly. It's jealousy because you look at what he has done. Not even just with music. What he's done for Toronto. Mm-hmm. What he's done for like bringing
Canada
a name. Mm-hmm. Being like, oh, that's like the U.S. was usually like, ah, that's Canada. Ah! Right. But now they're like, oh.
That's Canada.
That's Canada, right?
They still laugh, but they go, aha, but they got Drake.
Yeah, exactly, right? No. But they got Drake.
He made Roots a thing. Like, nobody bought from them until Drake started promoting.
Nobody bought from them. I remember when the man and them were in black Air Force Ones and standing in the line in the McDonald's with $3 in our pocket. wearing Roots, getting a junior chicken. That's going to last us 3 days. Don't play with me. We were wearing Roots from before.
Now, there's a lot of conversation about Drake culturally appropriating styles. That's one question. The second question is, in the end, will Drake be remembered as much as those artists that you mentioned? Queen, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson? Or is there a time that there isn't that level of stardom anymore? I think Beyonce's on that level, though.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I personally, I don't care for Drake. Like, I really don't care for him. Like, he's just there to me, so I personally think he's not going to be on that level. People like him, but, like, personally, I feel no ways about him. Probably.
I feel the same way, but I think what you have to do, even if you don't, like, care for him like that, you have to respect what he has done. Because you can not like a certain type of music, but you can still respect it. I think it was J. Cole that said it. He's like, I don't really like the new age rappers, but I can respect it. Like,
he won for the books, too. Yeah. Let's throw him in the pot, too. J. Cole's in the pot, too, for sure.
Hell yeah.
I also think that, like, in terms of cultural appropriation, I think I sit on the fence in that topic just because he uses his platform to bring light to certain artists, and it's not like he doesn't feature them on a song. Like, he featured Wizkid on a song. He blew up. He featured a lot of different artists on a song, and they blew up. And I think he lives in Toronto. Toronto's a very, very much like a mosaic of different cultures, and, like, there's all these different slangs and stuff that's borrowed from culture that I feel like Drake does borrow, but I also feel like he never says, hey, I invented this. I think where cultural appropriation takes place is when people go, oh my goodness, look at these mini buns, where they don't know they're called Bantu knots, right? But Drake will be like, no, this is Afro beats. There are people out in, like, Nigeria, there are people in South Africa who are really putting on for the culture, and I'm going to put them on my album. So I don't necessarily view him as a culture appropriator or a culture vulture in the same way. And I think, you know, 20 years from now, we're going to look back and we're going to see Drake in the same vein that we do see a Michael Jackson.
100%.
Just because the music that you listen to from 18 to 30 becomes the music you listen to most likely for the rest of your life.
Oh, because Taken, that every, like, song he puts out, it always gets famous. No matter, like, how bad it is, people are going to notice that
Never made a bad song.
But, like, there's still haters. That's what
that's
I'm trying
subjective.
To say.
That's real subjective.
But also, we got to take into account the fact that, like, all those artists that we mentioned as, like, the legends of all time.
Top five.
I feel like what makes you rememberable or memorable and all that is when you look back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody, like, whenever an album comes out, I was like, oh, this is a classic, but it's like it came out on Tuesday. You know what I mean? So it's like the history and the lore and the idea of being a legend comes with after it's all said and done, and that's where the legends come from, right?
Who are the living legends right now that will be remembered on that level?
Beyonce. Jay-Z.
Lil Wayne.
Kendrick.
Mariah Carey for sure.
Oh, no, definitely.
My Chemical Romance is definitely there.
Honestly, I say this completely honestly. Lil Pump.
What?
No,
Kanye West.
That.
Kanye, of
course. Kanye, yeah.
Like, just on memory, though, right?
In terms of, you know, the level that, like, Bob Marley, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston.
I know this dude did not just say Lil Pump, though.
That doesn't make sense.
But also being a legend and being remembered is really, really subjective, because you're only remembered for X amount of time, no matter how legendary you are.
Okay.
Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, all these people were not that long ago.
One Direction was pretty memorable.
Yeah.
They were like,
definitely.
Well. No. Is One Direction bigger in terms of legacy than Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
No.
In 2011, though? No?
Spice Girls? No.
BTS.
BTS, yeah.
100%. They have an army.
But the even like different cultures, right? Because like there's Shinsia, there's DeVito.
Yes.
So, like, you're looking at hip hop. You're looking at pop, but you're not looking at the other cultures that are blowing up right now.
It's true, but then we got to look at it globally, right? Bob Marley, Jamaican, but global, right? Michael Jackson, American, but global. Celine Dion, Canadian, but global. So, you know, who are those artists right now?
Yo, Shakira, though.
Yo, me, listen to my album. My album's coming out soon.
I'm trying to be global. Listen to my album, please.
Awesome.
No.
That's such a great topic, and I hope for all the young artists out there that are creating work that you think about how you can create a legacy and live up to the names of those people that we were speaking about. You are going to hear the next track on Speak On It, brought to you by the Black Poet Residency and the Hamilton Youth Poets. This is Drake, Controlla.
Oh, hey, pass that for me.
My AI just changed. It just buzzed the front gate. I thank God you came. How many more days could I wait? I made plans with you, and I won't let them fall through. I think I lie for you. I think I die for you. Jealousy cry for you. Do things when you want me to. Like controller, controller. Yeah, like controller, controller. Okay, you like it when I get aggressive. Tell you to go slower, go faster. Like controller, controller. Yeah. Like controller, controller. Yeah. And I'm never on a wasting charlie. I do it how you say you want it. Them girls, they just wanna take my money. They don't want me to give you nothing. They don't want you to have nothing. They don't wanna see me find your loving. They don't wanna see me smiling back when they pre knowing I lie for you. Thinking I die for you. Jealousy cry for you. Do things when you want me to. Like controller, controller. Yeah. Like controller, controller. Yeah.
Y'all up here off me garments. And I'm all be coming on me apartment pool. The girl them on the length and strength. Action speak louder than argument. Well,
but you can't just listen, come tell man sorry. You can't listen to me talk and go tell my story. Nah, it don't work like that when you love somebody. My old flex is my new flex now and we're working on it. Yeah, and that's why I need all the energy that you bring to me. My last girl would tear me apart, but she never wanna split a thing with me. But when it comes to you, you, I think I lie for you. I think I die for you. Do things when you want me to. Like controller, controller. Yeah, like controller, controller. Yeah. And I'm never on a wasting shot. I do it how you say you want it. Them girls, they just wanna take my money. They don't want me to give you nothing. They don't want you to have nothing. They don't wanna see me find your love. They don't wanna see me smiling back when
Welcome back to Speak On It, brought to you by the Black Poet Residency and the Hamilton Youth Poets. We've got a great event coming up. It's happening on March 7th, and our resident poet, Eddie Larte, is going to tell us all about it.
So I want you guys to catch hype at Roar, the indoor art crawl, which is happening on March 7th at the Cotton Factory. Please catch us. We'll be doing poems. We'll be having a ton of fun. That's March 7th at Roar at the Cotton Factory, the indoor art crawl.
Okay, guys, so today we're going to be talking about something pretty serious, kind of controversial. I'm here to talk about the expectations of a woman in society and woman empowerment. We talked about self-care, but what about self-love for each other? So,
right into it.
In society, women are portrayed to must look a certain way. Whether it's slim, thick, long hair, clear skin, they have to be skinny. They all have to look a certain way. But they advertise all of these women in a specific way, but they don't advertise that each of us have our own beauty, and that's okay. And that's beautiful. They all just look at the negatives. For example, if I don't have long hair, if I cut my hair, they say, oh, you're not ideally what a woman should look like. That's not as feminine. They want you to look a certain way, be portrayed a certain way with their mannerisms or body language, body image. So what do you guys have to say about that?
I'd like to say my first question is, who do you dress as a they?
Yeah. Mostly society as a public. Social media, Instagram, you see models on, influencers. They all have a certain look. You never really see like a curvy girl or a really thick girl just like
Lizzo.
Have her self-love all over social media because all the backlash that she can get.
I can agree with that, but I can also kind of disagree. People end up looking more, they're just like, they're all about the body rather than the soul, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
right?
I'm also talking about mannerisms as well, though. Mm-hmm. So, like, how a girl should sit, yes. How she should talk, how she should look.
If I don't want to shave my legs,
I am not going to shave my legs. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for myself. You know, so that's where I'm trying to look, where society wants women to be a certain way, where I refuse to be that way.
Yeah, no? I totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, for that perspective. Because...
Can I say something? Also, I feel like, I mean, if they were promoting something that was, like, healthy, it would be fine. But I know, like, a lot of, like, models and stuff are, like, pretty much starving themselves to, like, be on the magazines and stuff like that. So, which is, like, not healthy in general for anybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, promoting that is, like, I believe it's, like, it shouldn't be happening. But
I definitely agree with that, too.
I personally think we've come a long way in advertising as, like, before it was, like, people were dying because of this, but now we've become a little more self-aware, but now the image of what we define as beauty is different. Now it's big butt, big boobs, things like that, rather than super, super, super skinny. Like, there's a different kind of switch, like Kim Kardashian looks. And, like, when we consider, like, I was doing this thing in class about the impact of media on culture. So I did this example of the Victorian dress a long time ago that was inspired by Sarah Bartman, but they called her ugly because of her big butt and her big boobs and things like that. Yet those dresses had bigger bosoms and bigger bums and stuff because, like, that was what the fashion was. So, like, they kind of take what they want, but they never give you the credit, you know? And that's exactly what's going on here, too.
Also, just looking good in, like, a bikini and taking a photo and stuff, like, you need to have, like, the curves. Like, they're all expecting you to look a certain way, but what if you don't? What if you don't have those big boobs or that fat ass or anything like that? Like, why can't people just enjoy themselves for once instead of, like, always worrying about how they look and what it's going to be like on social media and stuff?
And also something to be said about, like, how things change over time. So, like, once, like, the ideal was, like, very skinny, you know, like there was always the whole joke was, does this make my butt look big? And that was, like, a problem back then. Yeah. But, like,
well,
now
I want my butt to look big
now, times have changed. And it's just, I feel like my problem isn't so much with, like, the trend, but, like, it's more so with, why do I have to change according to what is trending right now? Because realistically, like, 10 years ago to, like, now, right, if whatever age you are, whatever, like, your body is still gonna be the same. So does that mean, like, now that people want me to look like that, I gotta go, like, look like
no,
that.
Thank
like
you, you get what you get at the end of the day. So, I shouldn't have to change for someone else. Mm-hmm. And also, something that kind of bothers me too is this whole idea of you either like it's either cover up or strip. That's kind of how it is.
Yeah. See, I'm always told to be act ladylike, but my question is, what is being ladylike? What does that mean? Is it mean? Are you meaning in the terms of like the 19th century ladylike? Do I cross my legs when I sit? Do I talk politely? If I have a tone or whatever, everyone's like, fix your tone. Like, fix your attitude.
I'm gonna put my feet
she
on.
She got
the
an
chest,
attitude. Listen, the amount of times I've been told I had an attitude. Listen, okay. And this is just like this is just who I am. Like, I'm just like, you know, I got a lot of personality. You know, I'm not. You know,
I'm gonna put my feet on the desk.
Listen,
and I'm gonna
put my foot
you.
Down. Like, if I don't like something, you're gonna know that I don't like it. So, and I feel like something also needs to be addressed within like. We need to stop giving other people so much power over, like, what we want to do, right?
Speak on it.
So, because if we decide that, listen, yeah, this may be what's trending right now, but I'm not a fan. I'm not going to do it. If we just say, you know what, like, I'm not going to do it, they, like, they don't have to take it or leave it at the end of the day. Like, like there's, we have to take some, like, women need to start taking more power of, like, y'all like this, but. I don't want to be it. That's not what I'm going to do.
And then we're called difficult when we
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Or but, crazy. Or
but you're
going to
be difficult regardless.
Right?
We're difficult regardless because if you're too nice, oh, you're so, like, you don't know how to stand up for yourself. Then you get taken advantage of. So that's a problem. And then when you put your foot down, oh, you're too, like, problematic.
You're too aggressive.
So you're never going to be what they want you to be.
I have a question. Is your experience as a woman different as a colored woman or like a black woman? And if so, can you elaborate on how those are different, please?
Oh my gosh. Could I? Sorry. So I personally think that there is such a difference between black women and like just like white women. There's always that, like, black women are taken advantage of so much. There's especially I talk about this all the time, colorism. It's such a big issue that, like, if you're a lighter skin, you're docile, you're the one that they want. But if you're a dark skinned woman, it's just like, oh, you're aggressive, oh, why you gotta be so difficult. And like those issues, it really, really bothers me, because obviously you could see the difference.
Yeah, it's all the stereotypes and stigmas of different cultured women. If I'm a Caribbean woman, they're like, oh, you have an attitude, you have this, you're like this, you're aggressive, you're manipulative, you're crazy. Whereas like they view white women and they're just like, oh, you're very sweet, very polite, well-mannered. But I can be like that too. You're just differentiating me from another woman, but we're all the same.
Even as like a Muslim woman, especially if you wear the hijab, it's like, oh, you must be very modest, or you must be very, like,
just about
submissive.
To say that.
Yeah, you must be submissive. No, I'm going to tell you what I feel. Like, I went to a conference, like I said again, I went to a conference on Tuesday and Wednesday. It was about youth resiliency. Me and my sister, we look the same, but she doesn't wear hijab, and I do. I was the only, like, me and only one other person wearing the hijab there, like, inside the conference. So me and her, we were making everyone uncomfortable on purpose. We divided and conquered. We're just asking the difficult questions. Why you do this, huh? Why you gonna act like that? You want to fight? We'll fight. Like, that's literally how we were.
See, I love the divide and conquer, but let's talk about now self-love for another woman. We need to unite. Where there's a divide and conquer to fight the power, but we need to unite as women to build each other up for women empowerment. Whereas other women are all looked upon, and they're just like, oh, well, I don't like her outfits. She looks like this. She doesn't have this. But, like, where is the love? Like,
exactly.
We outnumber men in the world. There is women over the... It has to be... There's more women than men. So my thing is, where is the self-love for each woman when you see them in the comments on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, and they're bashing each other over what? You're fighting over men for what?
Exactly. At the end of the day, they think of you all the same. They're just like, oh, all women are the same. They should be submissive. They should be this and that.
Get in the kitchen. Where you belong.
If I'm going to be in the kitchen, if I'm going to be in the kitchen, I'm making my own food. You can make it yourself.
Okay. One thing that I think us as men need to do is also stop, like if I see some a girl in like sweatpants, a sweater, like I can't be like, "Hey, yo, why are you wearing sweatpants and a sweater? That's lazy." Like one young woman that I really admire for like sticking to her guts and like doing whatever she wants to do is my sister. Mm-hmm. Like she'll go out, like her hair will be messy. Her she'll wear sweatpants. I'll be like, "All right, bet." Like I'm not the one thing that like I might have a problem with is my dad isn't always okay with that, and he's like an immigrant man. Like he's used to the regular, right? He's used to the traditional concept of it, and I don't like that. I like the fact that my sister sticks to her guns. She's like, no, like she'll for real argue. She's 15 years old. She'll argue with my dad about this, and every time I see it, I'm just like. It makes me really, really happy to see that because I know that she won't, when she gets older, she won't let anybody push her around.
Mm. I have a question. What can men do to be better allies for women who are facing sexism and just other forms of discrimination?
Just making them feel special, like... Because there are so many other people out there, you know? So when you are with that one person and you really care for them, let it show, you know? Like,
yeah, see, as a biracial and bisexual woman, there is so much discrimination because, A, I'm Caribbean, but I'm also half white. So Caribbeans, they're not so welcoming of the LGBTQ community, but whereas the whites are more loving around it, it's not always the same, but that's mostly the stigma of it. And the discrimination around it is that those women, such as myself, are kind of put to a side. They're not really accepted, or they are looked upon differently by both men and women. Men look at me and they're just like, "Oh, well, you're just like any other woman, but, oh, you're gay? Oh, well, that means we could do this. Or you like this." They have a stereotype that attaches upon my name, you know?
You know, to answer your question, listen. It's literally listen, watch, and learn, because if someone says no, obviously it's a no. If they want to say something, let them speak. If they say, "I don't feel comfortable in this situation," help them in that situation. You don't just sit there and let them be disrespected, because often women are so disrespected and men are just sitting there like,
Especially, don't be a bystander. Exactly. You know, stand up when it's time. Like, if you see a woman being disrespected or degraded or something that you wouldn't want, you wouldn't want your sister, your mother, your daughter to deal with, then do something about it. Because it's often there's like a problem I see. Like, this is my biggest thing. Like, something that's always bothered me is that a woman is not really seen like as much as a level of importance their level of importance is according to their relation to a man. So, she's somebody's sister, so she needs to be respected. Mm-hmm. She's somebody's daughter, so she needs to be respected. Mm-hmm. Aside from, she is a woman that needs to be respected.
Exactly. Period. And, like, I totally, totally, totally agree with that. What really bothers me is that they really kind of, they're just like, "Oh, it's okay. I don't know this person," you know? So I feel like if you listen and learn, that's super, super important.
Woman empowerment, guys. Okay, so next coming up is Ladies Night by Lil' Kim and the Gang.
Mm. Yeah. Here's another one. And another one. Yeah. From Lil' Kim, the Queen Bee. It's Ladies Night, what? It must be Angie on the mic. The butter pea, honey, got the sugar, got the spice. Roll the L's tight. Keep the rhymes right, y'all. I just made this motherfucker up last night. And I'm the rookie on this all-star team. Me and Kim is getting cream. Like Thelma and Louise, but on chrome. Never leave that Brooklyn shit alone. So if you say it's on, then it's on. Bang this in your whips. Pack them Coda Goldy with the chips in the wrist. Here's a French kiss. I dismiss all you chicks. Spit six from the fourth, fifth. Make it dance. Ow! I stay focused. The dopest, like a penny with a hole in it. Y'all just hopeless and topless. I ain't lying. Trying to knock me off, keep trying. All it takes is one phone call to my street team. Promote that ass like a soundtrack, you jack. Sit it, send it off with the 850. Y'all missing the buck with the
bump Biggie in the truck, in the buck to my double. Let me see you do the bank head if you're richest. It's the rap made with the QB. And I got all my sisters with me.
You know what it is. It's ladies' night. It's Saturday. This is Speak On It. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure you check us out tomorrow, 6 p.m. on 121 Houston Street. Poetry Slam, yeah.
And to the mother Chico's, Lady Pimp ain't taking that trip. If you ain't got the cash to stash, catch a brick hole. Strictly your bell ringer. Lay another finger on this big bad wolf, Miss Lady Rap Singer. I be the one.